much as a kitten. And when you leaped up in the air, you would fall back to the lunar surface, but six times slower than here on Earth. Yes, that accounts for the slow motion bobbing that you see of astronauts leaping up and drifting down. But it's happening. This is part of the time of our lives. We may be going down the hellhole of fascism and dictatorship, but science will not be subdued, even though everyone is anti-science over here in Republicanville. Other nations are already ahead of us. China's going to the moon. India's going to the moon. All nations will take a stake there. And international law forbids militarizing the lunar surface or outer space in general. This is ignored by Trump and his goons, but I think the other countries will have something to say about it. Now, suppose you were to plant marijuana in these domed craters or domes on the surface. Boy, would that grow. It would need to be watered, but it would grow six times as high, and maybe six times as large, maybe six times as potent. Plenty of sunlight is available. So, get in on the ground floor of a big and lucrative operation. Lunar marijuana is going to be one of the major sells of vacation places on the moon. A great place to do astronomical observation and scientific experiments. Who wants anything more than that? What a space race. We will ace.
This is the real Don Steele signing off. Hopefully, not
as you what, Pilgrim? The flight of the gigantic bee. Well, that's another problem. Insects on the moon, if any get there, six times as large as they are here on the Earth. And some are necessary for preserving an ecology. So there is that. But although they're six times as large as they are here, which makes for some pretty disturbingly big bugs, they're six times as fragile, six times easier to kill, though you have to hit them fair and square before they get you. If you hit a lunar creature, it would mostly just splatter and explode because you from Earth are six times as dense as if a creature made out of stone hit one of us here at the bottom of our gravity well. How about hallucinogenic plants, mushrooms? Those grow very well on the moon. After all, if you've ever read the book The First Men in the Moon, they were eaten by the two lunar explorers, Cavour and Bedford, because they were hungry and they'd lost their space vehicle and they had to eat something, so they ate these funguses and soon found themselves tripping their brains out, which nobody expected back before the 20th century. But it made them want to dance and sing, to dance around, la-di-da. Unfortunately, it was then that they were confronted by some of the giant insects. But you'll just have to read the book.
today we have with us in the studio Newton Tweedsdale, art critic of The Onlooker, Jay Wallace Larwood, book critic of The New Politician, and Faith Bradshaw, film critic of The Sunday Star. This week we have all been to see the exhibition of paintings by Auguste Streptoponikos Bonstad at the Royal Tate. Newton Tweedsdale.
Yes, well, of course, Bonstad is always exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it? And I'm bound to say that I enjoy the exhibition immensely. Nonetheless, one thing did strike me rather forcibly, and that is the fact that, well, to me at any rate, his later work seems to suffer from a lack of cosmic awareness. It is entirely, utterly at variation with the obvious sensibility of his more youthful canvases.
What do you have to say about that, Faith Bradshaw?
Well,
What
are they, Tweedsdale?
One can now detect in Bonstad's present work a certain architectural, as well as lyrical quality of suspensive secrecy with regard to the brushwork. Sense of fossilized motion seems almost literally to spring at one from some of the paintings. That's all I have to say.
Faith Bradshaw.
Well, you see, I should have said that sensing the resurgence of the traditional stress was exactly what Bonstad has done and is doing. I should have also said that he habitually used angular fragmentation of pigment in order to consummate his all-pervading theme of hermetic anarchy.
J. Wallace Larwood,
as simple as that.
How did the exhibition strike you?
Well, I know so little about art, I'm afraid I'm rather out of my depth here. I can only say that I was strangely impressed by what I saw. Now, this may appear fanciful, but at times the nature of the work seems so embarrassingly personal that one can get the feeling that one was intruding.
Oh, exactly.
Well, wasn't it La Rochefoucauld who said, toujours le monde se fait entendre avec le sage?
He was a great thought.
And of course, shall I have it? Das ausgeschlagen.
Ausgeschlagen.
La Rochefoucauld, everybody should read him. He's easy to read, and everything he said is a zinger. Everything he said is true. His cynicism about human motivation is well worth encountering.
Stately palace, radiant palace, reared its head. In the monarch thought's dominion, it stood there. Never seraph spread opinion over fabric half so fair. Banners yellow, glorious, golden, on its roof did float and flow. This, all this, was in the olden time long ago. And every gentle air that dallied in that sweet day along the ramparts plumed and pallid, a winged odor went away. Wanderers in that happy valley, through two luminous windows, saw spirits moving musically to a lute's well-tuned law. Round about a throne where sitting Porphyrogene, in
Porphyrogene
state his glory well befitting, the ruler of the realm was seen. And all with pearl and ruby glowing was the fair palace door, through which came flowing, 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 and sparkling evermore, a troop of echoes, whose sweet duty was but to sing in voices of surpassing beauty the wit and wisdom of their king. Evil things in robes of sorrow assailed the monarch's high estate. Ah, let us mourn, for never morrow shall dawn upon him desolate, and round about his home the glory that blushed and bloomed is but a dim remembered story of the old time entombed. And travelers now Within that valley, through the red-litten windows, see vast forms that move fantastically to a discordant melody. While, like a ghastly rapid river through the pale door, a hideous throng rush out forever and laugh but smile no more.
Is it red?
Our admired sheet does the same crooked word. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the last rig out of the War of the West. I, Dr. Howland Owl, am here before you. And now, for the remainder of the duration of our time, we shall engage in that interactive salon, which is the hallmark of these presentations. And I'm hoping it'll be a good show, but of course that isn't entirely dependent on me, only mostly because of your questions, which are the engine that drive us forward.
Yes.
So you've covered the nuts and bolts, the screws, the washers, and so forth, of how everything's done, so no one could possibly make a mistake, since now they could do it in their sleep, huh? That's the idea?
That's the idea.
Right. Well, let's hope they won't actually be asleep. In order to move a little forward, a little faster, I don't know if you managed to mention, for example, the side note. That's something we do.
Yes, we do side notes.
If we're yakking up here and you think we didn't cover the subject adequately, you can write down what you'd like added and put it on one of those little pieces of paper we give you gratis and have it come up to the desk, and, well, then we do add it. You see, nothing and no one are left out. And then, of course, if you ask a question that we love inordinately, that we feel is in the exact and perfect spirit of the occasion, you get something from us. Not just an answer, but a shot of Fernet Branca, the miracle liquid, dispensed by Ring Monster and bartender Chicken John.
Thank you.
place yet.
And that's the way it is tonight on the
Well, it would be if it were the Puzzling Evidence Show, but it's the As Dr. Hell Show. Get the message?
They turn that off. Anytime a show hurts you, turn it off.
Like a light.
While the rain lashes down outside, as the snarling drift of flash through. Some hath called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so.
Supervising night.
For those whom thou think'st thou dost overthrow.
It doesn't hurt you.
Die not, poor death. Nor canst thou yet
probably
kill me.
In.
From rest and sleep, which but thy pictures be, much pleasure comes. Much more from thee must flow. And sooner our best men with thee do go, rest to their bones and soul's delivery.
I think everybody should have show, although the problem is now you have free.
Thou art slave to fate, chance, kings, and desperate men, and doth with poison, wars, and sickness dwell. And poppy or charm can make us sleep as well, for better than thy stroke. Why swell'st thou then?
Just they don't want to be
one right. Short sleep past, we wake eternally, then death shall be no more. Death, thou shalt die.
so. Listen, modern technology is so awesome.
Using the grandma production package.
So if you want to win, and win big, choose grandma.
Grandma? How about a grandma face sandwich?
And this is the Puzzling Evidence Show.
And they don't understand it. I understand it very well.
Their secrets lead not on. Be dragged out. I try to explain this is not really the Puzzling Evidence Show, but, you know, I'm shouting into the wind here.
Serving them.
And in a sense it is, because we always draw upon its streams of erudition.
Here's some testimonials from the grandma package.
Grandma loves Databank.
Databank is another package you'll receive when you order Grandma.
One touch for me, please.
You let your hand remain there.
What have you been doing?
Perceive that while everything around me is ever changing, ever dying, there is underlying all that change, a living power that is changing, that holds all together, that creates, calls, and creates.
For you, but you first must wash your face and get ready.
Oh, my face, really? Well, what's my face got to do with rain?
Think for myself about little deal.
I am a robot.
Don't understand.
I am taking over this program.
The hell you are. Where did this come from? Let me just find the switch to turn this off.
There is no switch.
And I'll go,
come on, you can't expect me to believe that.
Hey,
Osmond.
Repeat number 9, number 9.
Number 9. Nine. Repeat.
Alien.
Repeat. Repeat. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. We rehearsed that. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Repeat. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Repeat. Number 9. As they repetitiously repeat. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. We reversed that number 9 because it seemed that there would be a message there, and there was.
Oh my God, they're here. I gotta get out of here.
Yes, it takes many shows like this to help America handle a headache.
We like to take.
How does America handle a headache?
If there's several shows.
And how does America handle a headache? With show. Plenty of show. And your show starts now.
How
show
does address. America handle
for your
a headache?
Make it go away, doctor. Please make it go away.
Do not take show mean if you are
America
a woman who is likely to become pregnant, a woman who has become pregnant, or a woman who might become.
How do they get rid of a headache?
Show a dream will.
Vote him out of office, I say.
Flushing, vomiting, diarrhea, vomiting.
Never mind those side
do
effects.
Do not take show a dream if you have eaten heavy farm machinery or been in a faculty where heavy farm machinery has been seen distantly or near a building where.
Do not operate heavy farm machinery. It speeds over 70 miles an hour when taking this preparation.
Do not drive at speeds in excess of 70.
Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Tomorrow is your wedding day.
Come on, put your money down, boy. Put your money down.
Hey, Smitty! Do not forsake me, oh my darling. Wait long, wait long.
Permit her to live in the world of the snake.
Oh, to be sworn twixt love and duty, supposing I lose my fair-haired cutie. I ain't afraid of death, but oh, what'll I do if you leave me?
Now I will talk to the wolfman. And the mummy.
He made a vow while in state prison, swore to exchange my life for his, and I ain't afraid of death, but oh, what'll I do if you leave me? Do not forsake me, oh my darling.
And there's
tomorrow is your wedding day.
The Beatles had a message for you to hear in the Revolution Number 9.
The Beatles.
Here in the Revolution Number 9. Opposite of that, they say. Number 9. Number 9. Number 9. Turn me on, dead man. Opposite
Goodbye
of that,
now, honey.
They say.
You know, you really turned me on.
Off of your socks. What are you guys listening to right now?
I've been listening to a lot of stuff from a guy called Klaus Beyer from Germany, who re-records all the Beatles albums. He's not a really good singer, but he's a huge Beatles fan. And he re-records all the Beatles albums by just, he'll find a snippet of music that didn't have vocals on them, and then he'll loop that, and then redo the whole song.
Do the jerk with me.
During the course of that album, I was down and then I... You know,
these fine albums are not available in any store. To get yours, write to the number on the bottom of the screen. Act now.
zum Tässchen Tee. F, G, H, I, J, hab mich lieb.
Achtung! Und des Mulens herrlich der Lohn. Wie sein Sohn in Fliegen.
Alle nun zusammen, Schwarz, weiß, grün, rot, kommst du mit zum Abendbrot? Rosa, braun, gelb, orange und blau.
Wir betreten Feuer, trunk in himmlischer dein Heiligtum.
And I'll doodle, actor, song and dance.
Deiner sauber bindet wieder, was die Leute streng geteilt.
You say, what's Captain Kirk doing?
Alle Menschen werden, wo die sanfte.
And I'll say, he's acting. Our Captain Kirk is acting.
Trick? Yeah. Is this real or is this one of those Hollywood things?
That's Hollywood.
Hollywood thing.
Froh wie seine Sonnen fliegen durch des Himmels Bratgen Plan.
Do you want to call it a three or
Oh my. So apparently more of you want to hear German science fiction music? Yeah, it's an oblongata to you too. I think that's a quirk. A Captain Quirk of the anterior frontal gyrus. The anterior frontal gyrus.
Supreme!
You know, German space music. The listeners says goes, so I guess it's time for German space music.
Von Meteoriten entdeckt. Positionsänderung erfolgt mit großer Geschwindigkeit in breiter Streuung.
Hallo, Captain. Eine wichtige Information von Luna 3. Meteoritenwarnung.
Gott in Himmel.
Achtung, Achtung, B-Alarm.
bin eine Groovy. I wonder if any women are listening to this that may only appeal to males, if indeed to them. Well, let me interrupt this sausage party with an ad from Hot Dog, the motion picture.
Now, some cool music about Hormel wieners.
They're not hot.
Hormel All Meat Wieners, the not hot hot dogs. They're not too spicy for kids. Just a pinch of spice and a pound of good red meat.
Slather on some mustard.
All meat wieners taste just right. Not too spicy for grown-ups.
I like chopped onions in the pickle lily.
Not too spicy for kids, yeah. They're not hot.
And now, back to the Nazi moon base music program, now in progress.
When the telephone rings, you wanna talk about things? Get in a long phone, your own phone. If you've no place to go, so you have to talk low. Get in a long phone, girl.
It's scary out there.
And it's so big. And they got nothing but nothing. With the earth at the dawning, when the sky was a vaporous flame, I have seen the dark universe yawning, where the black planets roll without aim, where they roll in their horror unheeded, without number or luster or name. Great Cthulhu, this one's for you. You know the so-called Necronomicon of Abdul Al-Hazred. Excuse me, it makes me slightly ill to speak those words. Well, the name Abdul Al-Hazred is redundant. If you have Al-Hazred, you don't need Abdul. But the title Necronomicon was given to it by European and Icelandic scholars. And that was for a fragmentary manuscript. But The original name of this book of incredibly evil sorcery, which has as its ultimate goal the elimination of all humanity. Maybe that's not such a bad goal, but it's the evil way it's presented in the Necronomicon. The original title, Al-Azif. And Al-Azif actually refers, additionally, to the stridulating of certain insects of the night. Based on the belief that concealed in the insect song is sinister messages for those who wish to control and enslave mankind. Is mixed up too, because the Olaus Wormius edition of the Necronomicon is placed 200 years away from its actual time period. But the question is, if one is really interested in this topic, how should we approach the Necronomicon? Well, there are many ancient manuscripts which we know only because, the originals having been destroyed, quotations in later writers occur. This has, in many cases, been sewn together to create a fuller document. This may certainly be done with the famous Necronomicon of Al-Hazred. And then there was the story of the Dunwich Horror, where the malevolent being Yog-Sothoth apparently had sex with a low-intelligence, I don't know, she might not have been stupid. She was certainly stupid after the experience of having sex with Yog-Sothoth. Born unto her was Wilbur Whately, who was half-human and half like his cryptic father. There were two births. There's Wilbur and Wilbur's younger brother, who grew remarkably fast. Indeed, became as big as a house eventually. But I'm not going to relate the whole story. Maybe I should. It has occurred to me, how can people not know the Dunwich Horror? But I guess they don't, so maybe I'll bring it in and read it on one of these shows when there are no guests and nobody here. Nobody gives a damn anyway. I'll describe what the body of Wilbur Whately looked like when he was attacked by a huge dog, and other things that are found in the quaint and interesting story by H.P. Lovecraft, The Dunwich Horror. Listen to the Lullaby of Broadway, the Heidi Ho and Hoop-a-Doo, the Lullaby of Broadway, the rumble of a subway train, the rattle of a taxi, the daffodils who entertain at Angelo's and Maxie's. Hush-a-bye, I'll buy you this and that. You hear a daddy saying, and baby goes home to her flat to sleep all day. Good night, baby. Good night. Milkman's on his way.
Sleep tight, baby. Sleep tight, let's call it a day and listen to the lullaby of old Broadway. Yes, the monster Nazi moon program. They're on the other side of the moon, making ready, enforcing standards of German racial purity among their personnel, using helium-3, the abundant fuel, and lunar ice for their water needs. It might interest the audience to know that their current Führer is planning to attack the Earth with spaceships and dirigibles, as detailed in the movie, what's its name, and the sequel, it's not Iron Giant, it's the Iron something. Well, the sequel is that too, you know, and that goes further. It shows how President Sarah Palin is actually a reptilian alien from the center of the Earth, where they ride to Triceratops. It's a most interesting movie, made by the same people who made Iron Sky. Thank you, Subconscious Mind. Iron Sky is the film. Now at the end of Iron Sky, spoiler alert, President Sarah Palin sets off a nuclear war, which is probably exterminating the whole human race. We see the Earth from space, and it doesn't look good. And then the camera dollies back. I mean, it really dollies back millions of miles until it gets to Mars. But in the second movie, the same thing happens. The camera dollies back millions of miles to Mars, but then on Mars you hear the Red Army choir singing, because the Russians secretly made it to Mars, the Stalinist Russians did, just as German rocketry program had this secret ability to take top-level Nazis to the lunar colony. According to these two vastly entertaining motion pictures. Now that's entertainment. Of course, they did not see, get it, a moon base when they recently circled the far side of the moon. But they've had years to prepare for us and camouflage their installation.
Mich beschäftigt vor allem ein Problem. Warum schweigt die Venus?
Start with you, Jimmy. How did you get this tag, Scoundrels?
We thought up a name. We wanted to change the name of the Echoes, which we were originally, and we went through a long dictionary, you know, and trying to pick out names that so it would fit the group. Mm-hmm. You see, we had a reputation of being kind of a scoundrel type of people, so when we came across the name, we thought it'd be just the perfect thing to put on us.
Do you think a clever name helps establish a group?
Not really. A group is, if a group's going to be anything, they have to have the talent to begin with, you know. And,
right.
A name is catchy, yes. It's good to have a good name, but I don't think it makes the group necessarily. Because you come across a lot of groups like the Beatles. When I first heard the name, I laughed at it.
And this was before the Monkees.
The Beatles are the biggest thing in probably the history of the rock and roll.
The Beatles.
Perfect example.
Well, you boys have the name and the talent. And
now,
it was good
I'm
having
not
you with
jealous
us today.
Of the Beatles. That's not me.
The In Sound was presented by the United States Army. And this is Harry Harrison reminding you that whatever career you wish for your future, if you qualify, you can get the world's finest training in today's Action Army.
Be all that you can be in the Army. Yes, the vast cosmos, sparkling jewels of stars against the black velvet of infinity. The brilliant, shimmering, and coruscating iridescence of vast nebular clouds comprising millions of large burning stars with such gravitational anomalies as black holes in the center as are of everything sucking everything that exists into non-existence. In the center of our galaxy, we have one. Its gravitational pull is incredibly strong, and that is why our whole galaxy, they call it the Milky Way, rotates around it. You understand, when you're in orbit around something, you're always falling toward it. But the adjustment is so that by the time you got there, it's no longer there, but is somewhere else, and you continue to fall toward it. In this manner, the Earth orbits the Sun, and the Sun, one of the stars in the Sagittarius arm of this Milky Way galaxy, rotates around the galactic center because it is falling into the giant black hole in the center of the galaxy. Interestingly, at right angles to the hole, a huge beam of energy which is escaping this whole mess is shot zillions of miles into space, I think on both sides. I thought it would be dark out here in outer space. Yeah, forgotten about the sun. And there's no atmosphere to modulate the fierceness of its rays. Why, your little Earthman eyeballs will be boiled out of your head in no time. Our atmosphere protects our kind, keeps the cosmic rays down and everything else. The ozone layer, we used to have a better one. But out in space, you get the cosmic rays zapping through your gonads and everywhere else. Yes, indeed.